Christmas traditions in the Betel household that we've been doing since we were little kids is Mom would make all these Christmas cookies with the cookie cutters, you know, and getting the shapes of the Christmas trees and the Santa Clauses and the stars and all that kind of stuff. And then she would make all these different colored icings, and we would spend hours putting these icing on these cookies, putting sprinkles on them, you know, chocolate chips. You know, you wanted to make it as elaborate as you could, because then you had all as much sugar as you could possibly put on these things. The thing is, our mom loves this tradition so much, we've continued it to this day, and one of the flaws to the tradition is, and again, to this day, this is the case, we show up at the house, we all sit down. Now, most of us are adults. Yes, we have a niece and a nephew now, but they're quite not old enough to be doing this. And we look at the platter upon platter upon platter of cookies that Mom has made. I mean, there's like 500 of these things. And we sit there and we're like, Mom, there's no way we're going to be able to get these done. Like, there's too many of them. And she's like, that's fine. You know, even if we don't put icing on all of them, we'll eat them at some point in time. Of course, you go for the ones with the icing first. You don't go for the ones with no icing. But we do tend to eat them all. So last week, we're working on these cookies, you know, and we're decorating them and putting them together. And somehow the conversation strayed into talking about this feast day, Mary, Mother of God. And I was talking with Mom about it, and she was asking, you know, if I had a lot of parishioners that would attend Mass on this day, being a holy day of obligation. And I was like, yeah, you know, my parishioners, they're going to be there. You know, they're good parishioners. And so thank you. You proved me right. Thank you for being here today. We had a good crew last night, too. And my mom, she shot back and she's like, well, good. You know, I'm glad they're going to be there, because this is a special day. Like, Mary deserves this day. It deserves to be celebrated. And I don't know, I kind of looked at her and I was just like, but Mom, you know, like, yeah, that's true. Yeah, don't get me wrong, you know, that is true. But when you actually sit down and you look at how many times we celebrate Mary throughout the year, especially with our holy days of obligation, right? So we technically there are six holy days of obligation throughout the year. So we have today, Mary, Mother of God, and then we have Ascension Thursday, but that one really doesn't count because we move it to Sunday anyways, and so we all make it anyway. So we'll just put that off to the side. Let's say there's five actual holy days of obligation that fall during the week. So you've got Mary, Mother of God, then you've got the Feast of the Assumption of Mary in August, then we have All Saints Day, which takes place in November, we have Immaculate Conception, which takes place in December, and then lastly we have Christmas, which we just celebrate. So we have these five feast days, or these holy days of obligation that we have to go to through the year. Now of those five, we have Mary, Mother of God, Immaculate Conception, and the Assumption, which are specifically geared towards Mary. So over half of our holy days are about Mary. And then on top of that, we have Christmas, which, you know, it's kind of a big deal for Mary, you know, being the one who gave birth to Jesus. So we sort of celebrate her then. And then Mary is a saint, and so on All Saints Day, we're celebrating her. So I was like, Mom, like, I get what you're saying, but, I mean, Mary gets her fair share. I mean, she does pretty good. And then on top of all that, we have the Feast of the Annunciation in March. We have the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. We have Our Lady of Guadalupe. We have the Feast of the Name of Mary. We have the Feast of the Birthday of Mary, the Presentation of Mary. Like, we do a pretty good job of celebrating Mary, I think. Now, my mom, her name is Mary. So she loves Mary. And she looked at me after I kind of made this big speech that I just presented to you, and she was just like, well, you just don't understand. I was like, what do you mean? And she was just like, well, you're a man. I was like, yes, I am. And she was just like, this celebration, this feast day in particular, is important to us mothers. We celebrate Mary as a mother. And my mom will tell you, like, in raising five kids, it's not easy. She finds great joy in it. She loves us all very, very much. But she was just like, you know, there would be many times when I was raising you guys that I would go to the church and I'd go to the statue of Mary, thinking of her as a mother, Mother of God, and I would light a candle there just for my sanity in dealing with you kids. I was like, well, that's great to know. But her point is this: in celebrating this day, I can't really speak to how important this day is. I don't understand what it is to be a mother. And I never will. But in speaking to my own mom, it becomes clear that this day lends itself to one of the most noble vocations an individual can have, raising a child, giving birth to, and teaching them about our faith. And that when things get hard, we do have somebody that we can turn to in that. That we have a mother that understands that. My mom made it very clear that many times she would look to Mary as an example, as someone that she could pray to when she needed that extra bit of encouragement and help being a mother and what that looks like. Now, like I said, I can't speak to what it feels like to be a mother or going to Mary as an example in that way. But I know what it's like to have a good mom and how important that is. And so, in celebrating Mary, Mother of God, there's something else that we celebrate today that I think is equally as important. And it's the fact that as God was planning Christmas, he was planning to become one of us, he didn't need to have a mother. That wasn't a prerequisite. It wasn't a necessity for him to have a mother. We would talk in seminary oftentimes about hypothetical situations of how the incarnation could have taken place. The most obvious one, which it follows the Jewish tradition, you know, there was an understanding in the Old Testament that when Christ came, when the Messiah came, it would be in all of his magnificence and glories. The clouds would open up, he would just kind of come in all of his glory, and he would, you know, disband the Roman Empire, you know, and really establish his kingdom of Israel. He would build up all the promises that were made in the Old Testament. Another theory that I forget which priest proposed this to me, but I it's an interesting one. What if Christ had chosen, what if God, who in sending his son to us, chose to send him as kind of this anonymous orphaned child? Someone who just kind of showed up on the human scene, but without a mother or a father, someone who had to live out a hard childhood on the streets of Israel, you know, living this tumultuous life growing up, being poor, being helpless, having to fight for every scrap of food he could get. Like, in that way, if God chose to reveal himself like that, how many people he could relate to then? People who don't have a mother or had a poor one. People who grow up feeling abandoned, feeling like this life is not fair. How well Christ could have related if he came in that way. And it could have happened. God didn't need to have a mother. But it's clear that he wanted one. That from the very beginning, when we fell, in his plan of salvation, he desired a mother to be a part of that. That even when Eve fell, there was kind of this recognition that there would be a new Eve. Someone to take on that mantle and perfect it. That for us then, seeing this series of events, we see that God himself wanted to have that human companion in this life, that there would be someone there that would hold him in her arms as an infant, that would, when he was out playing and he fell and skinned his knees, that she would be there to kiss away the pain, kiss his boo-boos, that as he grew up and learned, that she would be a teacher to him, that she would see him grow into a man and take on his father's noble task of being a carpenter. That she would see him then elevate beyond that to finally reveal himself as who he truly is, the Messiah, the chosen one of God, preaching the good news of salvation. That she would be right there with him every step of the way through every joy and every trial. That a mother, although not necessary, was wanted in that. I often think, and it does such a great job, the movie, The Passion of the Christ, which, yes, it's about the crucifixion, yes, it's about what Christ gave to us on that Good Friday. But I love the movie because of how it portrays Mary in those scenes. That is a tenderness there. There's a moment when Christ is put in prison and Mary, on the other side of this stone wall, can sense where he's at and gets as close as she can to him out of love, a motherly love for him. That as he takes up his cross and he walks through the streets of Jerusalem, she meets him along the way. It's one of our stations of the cross. And as she cups his face in her hands and looks at him with such intense love, he looks back at her, and this isn't scriptural, it's not in the Bible, but I love it, it's beautiful. He says to her, "Mother, look, I make all things new." And then the most profound moment is after Christ has spilled his last drop of blood for us. They lower him down from the cross into his mother's arms. And she holds him as she did when he was first born. And then they break the fourth wall of the movie. She stares right at the camera, right at you, holding her son, as if to display to you just how torturous this is for her. How painful for a mother to experience this, to endure that with her son, who happens to be God. We do not celebrate today Mary, the woman who gave birth to God. That is not what we celebrate. That's what Christmas is. Today we celebrate Mary, the mother of God, someone who walked with him every step of the way, as a mother does. God did not need a mother, he wanted one, as we all do. And whether our mothers are still with us or helping us from beyond, we recognize how beautiful that really is, and how good it is that we celebrate this day, the mother of God. As my mom said, she deserves it. Amen.